And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Lucy Potter, not reading the news. On today's show, it's cool to be trans.
Born with the name Martin. At 3 to 4, she knew something wasn't quite right. Now Katie, as she's known, as champion trans issues. Because, of course, it's cool to be trans.
And it's Festival and Awards Week, as the Irish Film Festival has kicked off.
All that and as much as we can pack in today on Shout Out.
Didn't feel like I could do it, so I'm glad that you two jumped in.
You did the traffic.
Ah!
Yeah. Hello to Lucy for the traffic.
Oh no, I'm presenting. I don't want to do the dum dum dum, but I'm glad you two jumped in.
Oh well, it's a Lara tradition, isn't it? We get in trouble if we don't do it.
I don't know what I'm doing up here, guys. I'm supposed to be reading the news, and instead you're talking to me.
You've been promoted.
So we've got a really packed show today,
Loads to talk about.
Because the more we talk here, the less we've got time to talk Irish Film Festival. There is so much to talk in that. But we've got a lovely, super long length, cool to be trans, haven't we? So rather than eat up the top of the show, shall we go straight into the feature and we'll come back and tell you loads about Irish film? Over to Steph.
Now, something special happened to a certain trans woman not too long ago, and Katie Neves won the National Diversity Awards Positive Role Model for the LGBTQ community. Katie, welcome to Shout Out.
Well, thanks ever so much, Steph. It's lovely to be here.
And congratulations on that win. It's very, very significant. I can't tell the listeners enough how significant it is you getting that award.
Oh, thank you. I couldn't believe it when they called my name out. I really didn't think. I mean, I think about 85,000 nominations and votes. And then in our category, it was boiled down to 8 finalists. And they were all incredible. It could have gone to any one of them. They were all brilliant. And I really didn't think that I stood a chance. And it's funny, when they read my name out, I had to have a quick look up at the board just to sort of think, are there any other Katies in? No. And so I couldn't believe it. It was just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
What a lovely moment for you.
It was incredible. Yeah, I'll never forget it.
Yeah. Right. Cool to be trans. So you do a blog, don't you? Let's go back to your childhood first, Katie. Growing up, you obviously grew up with gender dysphoria. How was that? How did that manifest itself? And with relating to your family and your inner workings?
Well, one of my earliest memories was age around 3 or 4, was of my mum catching me trying on some of my sister's clothes. And I remember at the time, you know, it felt so right. You know, I felt right. But then my mum caught me and she told me off and she told me to take them off. And then for every day of the following week, she would check to make sure that I was wearing all of my own clothes. And, you know, even though, you know, she told me off about it and, you know, and humiliated me about it, you know, the need was still there. And that was the case all through my childhood. So throughout my childhood, I used to secretly dress in my sister's clothes whenever I had the opportunity. And whenever I did it, it felt so right. But then those feelings of feeling right were very quickly overtaken by feelings of guilt and shame and self-loathing, because what I'd been told, that it was wrong, it was dirty, it was naughty, it was not what respectable people did. And so every time I did it, I promised myself that I would never, ever do it again. And I just, you know, I tried so hard to not do it, but it was futile. Every time I tried to suppress that need, the urge and the need would always come back, and usually with a vengeance. And, you know, that was just a vicious cycle that went right on until my mid-20s. And then by then I'd trained to become a press photographer and I was working on newspapers in Kent. And it was in my mid-20s I got married for the first time as well. And it was only in my mid-20s that I finally accepted at that point then. So I thought I was a cross-dresser, and I realised I had gender dysphoria. And but things at the time, as you're well aware, you know, so gender dysphoria can vary in intensity, and it very often increases over time. And that's exactly what happened with me. But at the time, it was low enough that it was satisfied by my occasional cross-dressing. So as far as I was concerned, I was happy as a man who needed to cross-dress. And yeah. And so at that point, as soon as I accepted it and embraced it, it felt like a whole weight lifting off me, and because I no longer felt guilty about it. So I was happy like that for quite a few years. And then it took me right up until the age of 48. There's a whole series of events that happened that led me up to it, that at the age of 48, I finally admitted to myself that I am a transgender woman and that I need to change my body in order to be happy. And so then I embarked on this crazy journey of transition. And that was 2018. In fact, well, it was the 11th of January 2018 that I finally admitted it to myself that I am a transgender woman. Dates like that you never forget, do you, Steffi?
No, you don't. I never forget my dates of the day I transitioned and then 7 months later, the day I had my operation. You're right. You just don't forget those specific days.
The thing is, it's been a crazy journey. I mean, it's taken me 7.5 years to complete my transition because I had my lower surgery just 3 months ago. And so it's taken me 7.5 years. But then I think actually I'm one of the lucky ones now, because you look at a lot of people now joining the waiting list, they're waiting longer than that just to get a first appointment at a gender clinic. So it's so cruel. It really is. And I think everything that I've been able to achieve in the last 7.5 years... And if I was just stuck not being able to do anything, well, it's horrendous. It doesn't bear thinking about.
It doesn't, does it? And I don't think people recognise the mental health anguish that those people are going through. And a lot of, well, there's an awful lot of people out there just don't understand gender dysphoria.
No, not at all. And well, they don't want to.
Well, exactly. Yeah, and that sex isn't binary, but they still persist.
I know they do.
Yeah, well, we had a show that was all about the XXXY chromosomes. We had a professional in, and and we're going to be continuing that later on. And I think we need to keep pushing that on Shout Out and giving people voice and putting the facts out and love as well, because there's no point in hating, because that gets you nowhere. It just brings hate back.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I do trans awareness training and inspirational speaking and presenting. Whenever I do my talks and training, before explaining about gender dysphoria and the gender spectrum, I always talk about the sex spectrum first of all. And so I talk about intersex and talk about all of that. So just to sort of show people that sex itself isn't binary. And for instance, like if in this country, and so I suppose many other Christian countries, particularly, in law it's binary in terms of what's on your birth certificate, and in this country it can only be boy or girl, whereas in some countries there's not a requirement to put a sex of the baby. And then in other countries there's a choice of more than two. So for instance, in Germany, if you're born in Germany, there's a choice of four. So there's boy, girl, diverse, or non-disclosed, and so that's much more progressive. But I think it's the best way would be to just to not put that label on there.
Yeah, I don't think people recognise how many intersex people are actually out there.
No, I think it's 1.7% of the population, isn't it?
Yeah, I've heard one biologist say it's as common as redheads.
Yeah, that's what I've heard that. That's a stat that I use all the time. But I always point out that it's not necessarily the same people, so don't go pointing the finger.
No, that's true, yeah. And as our experts we've had on the show say, that no one really knows, because there's a lot of intersex people who go through life not really knowing that issue that they have.
Yeah. Absolutely. So often, the baby could be born with a vagina, so they get labelled as a girl. But then it's not until later on in life, when they're having internal scans for other reasons, that they actually discover that they've got internal testes and they realise they're intersex. And it happens a lot. Yeah.
How are you feeling? Because like you said that your op wasn't too long ago. So how are you feeling now? Are you recovering quickly?
It's been quite a journey, Steffi. I'm feeling great actually in myself, and I felt great in myself all the way through, but it has been quite a journey. So in terms of pain, I sort of did a lot of worrying before my op about the pain of it, and just worrying about going in for such major surgery, because it is pretty massive, isn't it? And And so I was worried about that. But actually, the week in hospital was actually the easy bit. The hard work actually started when I got home. Yeah, and it was, and when I was in hospital, in terms of pain, it was only, it's quite low, really. It was probably about a 1 out of 10 pain level, something like that. Apart from when they ripped the pressure dressing off, and then that took several layers of my skin off, and that was horrific. That was awful. But that was just a very short lived thing. But that was, apart from that, generally, it was just about 1 out of 10. But when I got home, I popped some stitches and I got some wound dehiscence where the wound opened up, and then that was horrific. That was really painful. And then the pain went right up to about an 8 out of 10. It was awful. And it was like that for about 6 or 7 weeks. It was tough. And then it gradually came down. But now I'm off all the painkillers now. I'm still sore. Still sore, and I've got some internal granulation tissue as well, which needs to be sorted out. But I'm going back to see the surgeon next week, actually, on Tuesday. Hopefully that can be sorted out then, and hopefully I'll get signed off. But in myself, I feel great, you know, and I'm sort of back into work mode. Although it's difficult when I was off work, because I was dilating 3 times a day, so I was just off work all the time. I just couldn't work during that at all. I just sort of like submitted myself to it, and that was it. Resigned myself to that's it, I'm not working. But of course, now I'm sort of getting back into the swing of things now, and just because I'm trying to fit in dilating twice a day, it's really hard. It just takes up a lot of time, doesn't it? And it's very tiring as
does
well.
I remember it well.
Yeah. I can't believe it when you said that you told me just before we started recording, you said that you had to dilate 4 times a day to begin with.
To start with, yes. Oh, yeah.
I found it tough with 3 times a day.
Yeah, and 3 sizes as well. So you start off with the little one. And if anyone's wondering what a dilator looks like, it looks like a cheap vibrator, but without the batteries.
Yeah, and not as much fun. But I was struggling because they just gave me 2 sizes. In terms of the sizes, we're talking about the width. The length is the same on all of them, but it's just the width of them. So they go up in width. And I was struggling just getting the small one in, and it was just taking it, and I couldn't go for the next one up. But I am using both now. But it took me a while. It took me quite a long time to get there. Yeah. It's been, but I realised I had one time when I really tried to like force the bigger one in, because I think, oh, I must be able to get it in now, and it was absolutely horrific, and I was just it really got me down. And I realise now you have just let the dilator do as the dilator wants. You know, if it's going to go in, it's going to go in. If it's not, it's going to not. Just chill out about it. And I've learned the hard way to accept that.
Now, you do a blog, don't you? And you actually recorded your whole journey, which is quite a special thing to do. How much response did you have to that, Katie?
It's been absolutely incredible to me. Well, I've actually vlogged my whole journey right from day one, actually 7.5 years ago. So when I came out, so I did a coming out video, because I've been a photographer and filmmaker for my working life, and until now forming Call to Be Trans and doing the trans awareness training and speaking work. But you know, up until then it's all photography, and I was self-employed, and I was worried about losing my clients, you know, if they had a problem with my being trans, because I wasn't protected being self-employed. I wasn't protected by any employment laws. So I made this coming out video as an income protection exercise, really. And on the 26th of April 2018, I sent it to all my clients, and I put it on all my social media, you know, go big or go home, yeah. And I was petrified what the response would be. But it was incredible. I was inundated with hundreds of messages of support. I felt so loved. It was amazing. And I continued to vlog my journey all the way through, so all the different steps and stages all the way through. And that's I found this really helped people. It's helped to educate people who are not trans, just to make it accessible and just demystify the whole process. But also it helps to reassure other trans people who've got that ahead of them. And this has continued on to with my surgery. And I didn't know whether I'd be able to do it or not, but I thought, well, I feel as if I should. So I actually vlogged my week in hospital recently, when I had my lower surgery. And I've done a series of 6 videos so far. So I did one video the day before my op and showing how nervous I was and just talking about what's going to be happening. And then the day of the op, and I've got this brilliant clip, it's really funny, of when I just come out of the recovery room and I'm still like high on all the anaesthetic. And I just thought, I just wanted to capture the moment, and I was talking complete rubbish. Probably no change there, Steffi, but complete rubbish. And then I sort of cut to the following day when I'm sort of off the anaesthetic now, and I was just laughing about it. And then I've just talk about what happened, you know, just, and the response has been phenomenal, and that series has had almost 1 million views already. Wow. And going up, and I'm getting contacted all the time by the trans people thanking me for doing that, because it's helped to allay a lot of their fears about surgery. Because you don't see that many of that sort of thing, and I wish I'd seen some videos like that before my op, because it would have helped to calm me down, because I was petrified beforehand, and now I realise that there was no need to be petrified.
Yeah, it's very brave of you, Katie.
Or stupid, one or the other. I don't know if it was brave or not. I mean, I just carried on as I have been. The thing is that I get a lot of hate anyway, because I'm so publicly trans. I'm so out there. I couldn't be more out if I tried, yeah. And because I get so much hate, I get hate every day. There's not a day goes by that I don't get called a paedophile, a predator, a sex pest, a groomer, or a mentally ill on my social media. And it happens every day. So I thought, well, yeah, this is going to generate a lot more hate, but well, I'm getting that anyway, so I've developed this thick skin to it, so I think, well, what the hell, just go for it. And the thing is, it does more good, and I don't really care about the haters. Before being so publicly trans, people didn't have a strong opinion about me either way, but now they do. They either love me or they hate me. And lots of people love me, lots of people hate me. Well, frankly, you can't please all the people all the time. So I don't really care what the people who hate me think. Their opinion doesn't matter to me. But the only people's opinions that matter to me are the people who love me. And so I'm concentrating on them and stuff the rest of them.
Yeah. Good. Absolutely brilliant. Well said. Now, the thing is, there's a lot of trans people out there, probably the younger ones, who aren't as robust as yourself, and even though they might not get personal messages, they see all the hate that's piled on when something happens in the press, and the front page of the Telegraph and the Mail. Have you got any advice for them?
Yeah, I have. Something that a practical tip, first of all, I'm sure you know about it, but there's a plugin for web browsers called Shinigami Eyes, which is absolutely brilliant, and it's helped to save my mental health a lot. So it's Shinigami, so Shinigami, and then Eyes, EYES. And what you do, so you load that into Chrome or whatever browser you're using. You just do it once and it just stays there in the background. And what it does, if you look at your social media through that browser then with the plugin, it flags up posts and comments from known trans hostile people in red and from known trans friendly people in green. And so it's brilliant. So you can just scroll through. And if you see, like if it's a day when it's like a sea of red, then I think, oh, yeah, I'm being piled on that day, then it just means it's a day with a Y in it. but it just allows me to scroll on past the red, so I don't actually look at that stuff. Mm. And then I just land on a green and I know it's a friendly one. And that has really helped save my mental health a lot. So I think using tools like that to help yourself keep away from all the message of hate. Don't go looking for it. Just keep off X completely. I mean, that's just completely out of bounds. Just keep off it. But the thing is that all the platforms, there is no safe platform, social media platform for trans people anymore. I mean, LinkedIn used to be the safest platform, but even that isn't anymore. None of them are safe, and they don't do anything about the hate. So there's no point in reporting stuff and whatever, because they don't do anything about it. So really limit your social media intake. And the advice that, and certainly what I found is that in real life, I'm very widely accepted and loved for exactly who I am. And personally, I don't get any problems when I'm out and about, but I know we do live in a very lookist society. So I am very lucky because I have got passing privilege, it's because although this is audio only, so you're hearing this deep voice, so you probably think, who's that bloke talking? You can see me, Steph. Hopefully you don't realize, you don't think that I look like a man, but you know, we do live in a very lookist society, unfortunately, and so the people who don't pass do get more grief than people who do. So I do appreciate that I do have passing privilege. Mm. However, I certainly have found that most people are lovely people who don't want to offend. There's only a small number of people who are very trans hostile. It's just that they're very noisy and they're in positions of power, and one of them's the Prime Minister. Unfortunately, that's
I haven't had any issues at all either. I used to lose all the time, and not in this country, but across Europe. Never had an issue so far.
No,
I'm touching it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I tend to, like, when I'm using the lose, I do change my behavior a bit. I don't tend to speak, or I speak very quietly if I do, because obviously I don't want people to hear my deep voice, and I don't want to be subject to any hate, but also I don't want any other women in the loose to feel threatened by my presence either. So it works both ways.
Yeah.
So I just keep quiet, and that's fine, and it works, and it's worked so far. And certainly, if this sort of segregation that carries on and becomes law and everything, I won't obey it. I will carry on as I am.
Yeah.
What's anyone going to do?
Exactly.
I'm carrying on as I am.
Katie and Eve, we've run completely out of time. Once again, congratulations for your award. Very well earned. And I hope you can come back on the show very soon.
I'd love to. Thanks very much for having me on, Steffi.
Very welcome. You take care.
And you. Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, that's a slow one, that one, isn't it? Something inside so strong. La Bichifre?
So, Andy, you're going to have to explain this to me.
Is that how you say it?
La Bichifre.
La Bichifre.
You're going to have to explain a layout to me here.
A layout?
So, I read the news, and I'm over here presenting.
Yeah.
And yet, we've got Ez and Steffi, two veteran, seasoned presenters in the news chair. What's happening? Are we in the chairs. Twilight Zone?
It's
musical chairs.
It is. It's the show Big Brother and Twilight.
It's because the lovely Terry's not very well at the moment.
Yeah,
so if you're listening, Terry, get well soon.
We love you, Terry.
Steph's got to live up to it.
Anything could happen.
Anything could happen.
And Ellie Goulding's in the studio.
News crew, I'll be keeping an eye on you too.
All right, thank you. I'll have one eye shut because that's how I read the news.
Do we know who's going first yet? Are you any money, it says?
No, I'm introducing. Stephanie's doing the first story.
So she's you're going first.
She's going first. Yeah.
Well, you can tell he wears the trousers, can't we? Shall we get some news headlines?
Go on then. It's Shout Out News time. Welcome along.
Gay promoter Jeremy Joseph has spoken out in the Metro about the intimidation felt by the LGBTQIA+ Londoners when the far-right group known as the King's Army marched through Old Compton Street, blocking traffic in the heart of Soho's gay clubland. Promoted by the Nazi-linked group Turning Point, the King's Army seeks to impose Christian fundamentalism on the UK. The Scottish Nation news site reported that the stunt prompted outrage from social media users who said the evangelical group's tactics won't succeed. Thomas Willett from the Equality Amplified said, "This isn't activism, it's homophobic intimidation. These people are vile bigots through and through." Even the Daily Mail condemned the extremists, saying the country is losing its mind. And LBC Radio's Ian Dale added, "What on earth is happening in our country? People in black shirt style uniforms telling us to be moral? Just sod off, the lot of you." Historians also reminded listeners that Britain still has laws dating from the 1930s banning political groups from marching in uniform, and many are calling for police to enforce them.
Fayfix Collington, writing for LGBTQ Nation, has strong words for a small minority within the queer community trying to distance themselves from trans people. Collington writes, as trans rights enter mainstream debate, a vocal few in the LGBTQ plus world want to separate gender rights from sexual orientation. It's a perfect example of... Oh, Stephanie, can you help me with that word?
Perfect example of...
See, this is why we need telling.
Nemulers first, they came.
Thank you very, very much. Apologies. Groups like Gays Against Groomers, Women's Liberation Front and the UK's LGB Alliance have, Collington says, aligned with anti-trans hate campaigns, even supporting conversion therapy, condemned worldwide by medical experts. Collington concludes that these small but loud factions risk betraying the solidarity that built LGBTQI plus equality in the first place. You can read the full article at LGBTQ Nation.
We love to spotlight queer-friendly community radio where the real heart of British broadcasting beats. Our friends at Nudes Radio in Bristol, known for their eclectic and inclusive music mix, are relaunching their studio after a refit. They're throwing a launch party this Friday, 17th of October, from 7pm at Mickey Zog's Surrey Street in St Paul's. All the best to Nudes Radio on their exciting new chapter.
Across the Atlantic, Avenue 360, a Houston-based HIV and LGBTQI plus health project, is standing firm despite Republican efforts to cut LGBTQI plus healthcare. They're hosting Music with a Mission on Friday, November 7th at 6:30pm at River Oaks Country Club. The night will raise funds for Amiga House Hospice, celebrating Houston's musical legacy, with cocktails, dining and entertainment, all for a healthier Houston.
The website Christmas TV Weekly reports that writer and actor Mark Gatiss will once again bring us the BBC's Christmas ghost story. For 2025, Gatiss has adopted a room in The Tower by E.F. Benson, starring Tobias Menzies and Joanna Lumley in a haunting festive special. BBC Arts editor Mark Bell calls it an atmospheric treat where dream meets terrifying reality. A Room in the Tower airs on BBC Two this Christmas, date and time to be confirmed in December.
From Instinct Magazine, the 2026 Australian Firefighters Calendar is out now. Yes, you heard it. The calendar supports wildlife rescue, first responder, mental health and disaster relief. This year's editions feature firefighters with dogs, cats, horses or solo, perfect as a Christmas gift. You can check it out at australianfirefighterscalendar.com.
Wow. Men and animals. Like it. And finally, in South Africa, Jacaranda FM has launched the country's first drag queen hosted Afrikaans podcast featuring Regina Black. Since 2019, Regina's been a star of Johannesburg's queer scene, known for big hair and even bigger heart. Her new show, Queer in Afrikaans, celebrates joy, culture and language. Regina says, it's important to show the queerness belongs in our language and our culture. We laugh, we share, we celebrate. That's what Pride is about. The podcast launched October 2nd, just in time for Pride Month, and is already being praised for reclaiming Afrikaans as a language of inclusion.
And that's our news roundup for this week. We'll be back next time with more stories from the LGBTQ plus world. And don't forget to check out our LGBTQI plus media near you for the heartbeat of the community and for all that's going on.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For Shout Out News, you've been...
Steffi Barnett.
And Ezra, can't pronounce words, Peregrine.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Get off the table, then.
That's cool. Sorry. You will see.
Needed to shake my booty. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
That's shaking. Called. You will see. And that's my Quarterhead and Sessa.
It's good. So, I like it.
It's a really nice one.
I would boogie to that. Yeah.
Boogie, boogie.
Did they play that in the bear bar?
I have no idea.
It sounds like a bear bar.
It does sound like a bear bar.
It does, yeah.
Recently Shazammed bear bar location.
It's got big bear bar.
It was Shazammed. It was big actually Shazammed from
energy.
Facebook.
Oh, well, you can just say it was big bear bar.
Can I just say that we've got...
it was actually a Bison's advert.
Oh, really?
Bison's.
We've got our Christmas panto coming out soon, but the BBC...
coming out soon. Theirs, we haven't recorded it
so
yet.
So don't listen to theirs. Listen to ours.
Yeah.
Are we going to give away what ours is called yet? I can't remember.
No, no.
It's a secret.
Just to say they're starred Joanna Lumley, which everyone knows. That's what I sound like when I'm not on air.
Yeah. And I sound like you when I'm not on air. So it's a very good switcheroo.
What, you go all Bristol?
I do, that's right, my number. That's right. Yeah.
I can't believe you went all Afrikaans.
See, African.
I'm so sorry if you offended.
I love an accent. Australian often comes out of me.
Well, you didn't do it for the calendar.
All right.
with the dogs as well, or just...
Wow.
So we got Steffi with her men and her animals, and then we've got Ez and
Hang on a minute.
Australians.
Hang on, people, just getting a call here from Ofcom.
Totally fine. All good, clean
totally
fun.
Totally fine. Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, this week, the Irish Film Festival has kicked off.
Ooh,
yes.
And of course, the Irish Prize will be awarded. I think there's three of them. So there's Best of British, there's Best International, and I can't for life remember what the other one is. I'm sure there's three.
The overall Irish Prize winner, isn't it?
The big boy.
Big one, yes. So £40,000 this year.
That's really, really good. It's. I think, should we talk a little bit about, I mean, I know we've talked about what the festival is on previous shows, but...
Yeah, but it's happening right now, isn't it?
It is.
And we've even got some of the team over there as we speak.
Yeah, yeah. Arby and Tara have been there this week, and you and I and Adairan are going tomorrow.
We will be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be catching up on some really, really great screenings. So
there are some brilliant movies.
Some great
really,
stuff.
Really, really good movies, aren't
great
they?
Great stuff, yeah. Did anything catch your eye, Andy?
Well, I mean, we sat down and we watched the one that we think is a real hot contender. Which
yeah,
is
just
called,
the time. Sorry, I interrupted you. Got excited. Carry on, Dave.
You go. It's not Ez time yet.
No, I understand.
No, what were you
going to say? Yeah, yeah.
I was saying that I don't know much about it. Thank you for letting me to continue what I started. And I don't know much about the films. And I was listening to you all earlier talking. And at that point, didn't rudely interrupt. And all the titles are pretty amazing.
Yes.
And I was thinking, wouldn't it be a fun game to just know the titles of the films and then write your own description of what you think would be on the back of the
DVD? I thought you were going to say go into them all blind and try and match up film had which title, which
although
would be,
that would be fun.
Yeah, 3,000 lesbians go to York, and then put it with maybe what's
the problem is I'm not sure you would guess what they are necessarily by the name. Like
let's talk about the one we saw a couple of days ago, which we think is the hot favourite.
Tomorrow's too late.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
We got the trailer.
Should we play the trailer and then we can discuss?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi guys. I'm Lox Holloway. Going round the coast crazy.
Just so taken by her vocal. I just love that kind of raspy tone that she has. I'd rather lose myself.
A few people have asked me, if your voice means so much to you and singing means this much to you, then why?
To our youngest sister Lottie, youngest brother.
Hi, I'm Dylan Holloway, and this is my voice, one day on testosterone. And this is my voice, 1 week on T. And this is my voice, 3 weeks on T. This is my voice, 1 month on testosterone.
Testosterone has multiple effects. We will be taking you through male puberty at an accelerated fashion. But it's the voice deepening which, as a singer, you need to be aware of.
In case we lose it all, my love, remember that I did it all for us to live the life we dreamed of.
I've always felt like music and my voice and the ability to perform is my only redeeming feature.
Hard it was before the world could see now.
Music is the only thing that's saved my life from going under.
The child within my heart was only calling out for love.
When you break it down into music and my day-to-day life, this is so important to me.
The Does that give you a bit more of an idea of what it's about?
Yeah.
So it's about a lovely guy called Dylan, who was known really well for their singing voice before they transitioned. And it's the whole battle, and it's a true story. It's actually a documentary type film, but it follows the whole journey and the kind of tearing of the two sides of him wanting to transition, but the absolute, he's scared to death that his voice won't work after he's been on testosterone. In actual fact, what happens is he drops a good couple of octaves and he ends up singing.
Let's not spoil it.
Okay.
No, that was a spoiler.
Let's not spoil it. But I think possibly it's enough to say, and this is that he has to reckon with the songs he wrote and sang before his transition and how he can he sing them and
revisiting those feelings.
Revisiting those songs and how does he feel about them? And I've got to say the way he does it is just amazing to hear, because it's a really, really beautiful, journey. And
An emotional film.
It is really good.
A very emotional film.
It is really, really good. It's I'm trying to look at when that's showing. Is that showing the Saturday or the Sunday? It's showing.
Hang on a minute, I can tell you. I think it's. I will come back to you. We have got it. I've got it right in front of me.
It was really interesting. And like Tara watched it with us, and we thought it was really interesting because, of course, I'm not trans.
Oh, it's screening right now.
Andy isn't trans. But the theme of like identity and what contributes to your identity and who you are, and whether you can, you still are you, and you want to be more than you, but also, you know, that his voice was also a huge part of who he was before, and was he still, was he, it was really, really good.
There was also a huge part of it that from a lot of the trans friends I know, I don't think we've ever talked about it, Steph, but there's a lot of people who, once they transition, they want to completely forget before. And the whole lot of the film is about him realizing that was still him. It's a big part of his life, and he wanted to totally shut it out. I mean, there's bits where they interview the parents, and the parents, like, he just wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But now, after he's been through it and come to terms with it and realised that's just part of the journey, he actually embraces the past as well.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely everybody can relate to who they are and who they were in however they want. And
absolutely.
There are absolutely people who choose not to do that, but it was really, really interesting. And I'd never seen anybody be quite so open about the whole thing. You know, this is who I was and this is who I am, and I still acknowledge who I was, and showing that kind of showing them pre-transition and post, it was really really
Sounds like one to watch it right now if you're at the festival. But
so we should explain, the festival's got the three parts, isn't it? So you've got the lot that are to do with awards, and there's the Best of British, which are all like between about 10 and 20 minutes each, and they're divided into categories. There's also Best International, which is a similar kind of thing. They're like shorts. And they're submitted, you would not believe how far and wide it goes. People coming from the other side of the world with their films to be part of the festival. And both of those, there are prizes, and they're showing them all, and there's repeats, and they're online. And then Channel 4 will also be putting them online after the festival, so you can go watch them on, I don't think it's called 4OD now, but the Channel 4 catch-up service.
Just called Channel 4,
And then there are larger films like that one, like Tomorrow's Too Late. It's actually quite a long film.
Yeah, and films that have been shown in other film festivals that you might be more feature length films that probably are touring festivals. So there are a lot that we know have come from other festivals,
and they're not all down and depressing. Some are absolutely hilarious.
Yes.
I mean, I know you're looking forward to Lesbian Space Princess. I've never seen something so bonkers in my life.
Lesbian Space Princesses. Yeah, no, actually
it's cartoon style, isn't it?
It's so good. And actually, and we're talking about coming from festivals, it's already, you know, I mean, it's already won a prize at the Berlin International Film Festival in February,
as so it should,
already really, really prestigious, and currently boasts 100% perfect score score of reviews, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of innuendo and the like in it. But I mean, I'm not privy to, because I'm not a lesbian, but having listened to you talk about some of the things, like, yep, yes, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love the fact that, yeah, there is a breakup because from two people who've been dating all of 2 weeks. Yeah, no, that completely tracks.
On the bingo card, it's kicking off.
And rescuing your ex from the... lesbian space princess, and she has to rescue her ex from the straight white Malians.
Straight white Malians. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Who are played by Auntie Donna. Go look at them on YouTube. They are really funny. They're fantastic. There's some really great... Auntie Donna is the only name that I recognise, but like, there's some really recognisable names. So yeah, definitely lesbian space princesses.
It looks brilliant. I've just been looking at some of the artwork and the trailer on YouTube. Looks really good.
Have you seen it? I mean, no, I'm going to watch it when we're at the festival. Okay.
I mean, a lot of these, you can see a lot of the trailers on the Iris Film Festival website.
Yeah. You can.
If you go and have a look. And there's still space. You can still go along. You can still get tickets, etc. So it's over in Cardiff.
You got nothing to do this weekend.
So yeah, if you want to see some amazing films, well worth doing. Yeah. So one of the ones I watch, which is screening on Saturday, it's called Departures.
Yes.
It's kind of fun but also serious, best way I can describe it. It's about a lovely young chap who falls in love with the supposed straight alpha male. He's very handsome, it has to be said. He's quite good on the eye,
Andy, okay.
shall we say.
You're not really preaching.
Yeah, you're the only one in this room
I'm saying this for the listeners.
Yeah. So,
but basically, the long story short is they every few months go away for a week in Amsterdam. And when they come back, the guy goes back to his straight life. And it's a story of how the other guy falls in love with him and the dynamic of
the hardships
and falling in love with someone who's not even out yet and the like. And for there will definitely be probably not just gay men, but I certainly know there are a lot of gay men who have had that situation in their life, and it will resonate quite true with you.
Yeah.
If you do watch it, one tip, stay for the credits at the end, because there's a bit that they put in there that's nothing to do with the film. That was just about the guy that made it and the fun that they had making it. And I have never laughed so much in my life. It's brilliant. It's well worth it. I won't spoil it because you need to watch it.
Yeah, well, I also want to plug one, and I won't spoil it either, but I really want to talk about Sleazy Tiger. Did anyone watch that? That's so good.
We won't. It's one of the shorts, isn't
it? It's one of the shorts. Yeah, it's in one of the shorts programmes. I think it's showing tomorrow. It's showing twice live and once online.
So it is in the Unravel category. Yeah.
So I will not... First, it starts with... It's a very cute gay date.
It is,
that really goes places.
It goes and very goes, strange places.
But keep an eye out for the cameo, because the cameo is perfect. Yes. And that's all I'll say about that film. Yeah. And it's also got a very cute ending as well. So yeah, two cute guys go on a date.
Yes, has a lot to do with cake, shall we say.
Let's just stop right there. But yeah, no, so Sleazy Tiger, really liked.
So, and in that same category, actually, one of the other ones we watched was called Hot Young Geek Seeks Blood Sucking Freak.
Yes, that's funny.
Which was just bonkers. Yeah.
Yep. Loved it.
That is one with the pizza guy, isn't
Sounds
it?
Like Twilight. Probably inspired by.
Yeah.
There's some imagery there. We're gonna try and a lot of the filmmakers are at the festival tomorrow, so we're gonna try and get some.
We've got some interviews already come in.
We have got some interviews from RB.
So, and we got some others as well. So tomorrow also screening is Screams from the Tower. Which I haven't watched yet.
I haven't.
Have
no, no,
but I have got a trailer for it.
Let's and play
it,
that, then.
I'm pretty sure this is the one that revolves around a school running
a
radio.
Yes, they've got a radio station, so on par.
Yeah, so have a listen to this.
Welcome to Screams from the Tower with Julian Rosdahl and Cary Geller. I'm Julian Rosdahl.
And I'm Cary Geller.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and welcome to the show.
Summer is over, and that means we're back, kids.
It's your senior year.
Welcome to WNFH.
We're in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I'm so in the house. That's what the kids say. They say in the house.
They don't.
Julian, I really love your show. Super funny. So funny.
Not a lot.
We have pizzazz coming out of
our
pool.
Oozing from all our little holes.
Get out!
I can't do the radio show.
I can't keep up.
The rest of the seniors are preparing to go to college, but with your grades, your attendance, I'm afraid that if you stay on this path, you might not graduate.
I feel a lot of pressure
to be normal.
You know, I make this show in my bedroom, where it's safe.
You're deserting me!
And when it's time to actually step out of it, I'm terrified.
I think you call your show Screams from the Tower, because that's what it feels like in your head.
God, in all of our heads, especially in high school.
You want a shit wig?
What a great ending.
That sounds good.
That screams from the tower, that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, no, that should sounds...
Should be quite interesting.
It's going to be really fun.
It's funny, listen, so that's what the kids say, because like me and Darren are completely different generations.
You should see our text messages, guys. They're really entertaining. It's a constant mismatch.
I'm like, yo, that's sick. And we don't say that now. Yeah, it's Slay now. And then we've just been talking to Lucy. Lucy's like, my little nephew says bro. So it's gone from
say bro.
Cool to well, sick to Slay.
What did I say earlier when I was
bro.
Like, okay, stun? And you went, yes, I am
stunning.
That's what it means, right?
We literally don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
Well,
it's more just like, that's, yeah, what, like, cool, great, that's good. Okay, whatever.
I'll try that at work.
I'm digging a grave here. I can't get you guys.
Are you really Gen Z? I don't know if you really are. Well, I mean, we've only got your word to go off. None of us can spot it.
Do I look like I moisturise?
You could tell us literally anything, Adair, and we'd be like, yeah, or if that's what they say. You could actually feed some absolutely awful slang.
No, I told you about the Poland thing.
We could do a whole show on this.
Let's not do that. I think it's to do with, it started with Gen X, famously people born between 1965 and 1981, and that kind of... That was a thing in the 90s, actually. Gen X, people talked about, but then everyone forgot about it until the great financial crash of 2008-2009, and then millennials came in because millennials couldn't get a job, and then millennials went on until about 95.
So
I think.
Am I a millennial? 85?
Yeah, no, yeah, you're a millennial. You and I are millennials. Okay. I'm an we are elder millennials because we're at the top end of
my god,
yeah. and then the next generation, because they were like, oh, actually it goes from X to millennial to, oh, we'll just call them Gen Z.
Nothing to do with the film festival.
And then of course sorry.
But you know, it's riveting.
Go to the film festival, guys.
Go to the film festival and see all of these ages, watch all these different films.
And we will have some clips in future shows of interviews, and that will be really, really
good. And we'll be saying them as well, because it goes on tour afterwards. So next year it's doing about 3, 4, 5 different stops around the place. So and we'll be catching
There's
up
multiple
with them
chances to watch. There.
And this is their 19th year. So we've actually been invited to be a lot bigger part of it next year for their 20th, which will be absolutely amazing. So this is like our first foray with them, and it's lovely to be. It's so nice to be involved as well.
It's great. They're a lovely team.
They're a brilliant team.
And
they've been so helpful.
Being involved next year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. After you've done 3,000 lesbians, go to York.
Well, I mean, it might take me a while, but I'll try and get through them before.
Start the
count
now.
Between Steph and her men and her animals and Ez and their 3,000 lesbians.
Got all your hands.
All the hands.
We're gonna be here for a while, folks.
Yeah, we are.
What's your? I mean, even if it's a short, what's your favourite type of film, movie, short?
Do you mean that you've listed or generally
in
life?
No, I just mean generally. What kind of things do you like?
I either
do you like a good scare?
No. I like to think I do. I used to love horror.
I know.
In a joking
weird you
way.
Grow out of it and you just start hating
I loved, and I actually did like the more recent ones as well with Skarsgård. But I would say that I go for cartoon.
He's in a film this weekend. It's pretty gay as well.
Is he?
Is he?
Skarsgård, yeah.
Bill?
No, Alexander. No.
Eric Northman from
He's in Pillion, which guys is showing at the Watershed.
Yeah. Well, yes, because he's also said that he's had relationships with men. But no, in answer to your question, I would say rom-coms, anime, Disney, and dystopian.
Lesbian space princess, then.
I love sci-fi, really
K-pop
do.
K-pop demon hunters.
Yeah, that's also kind of sci-fi. It's sort of. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, the lesbian space one just looks so good.
We'll let you know all about it.
Thank you.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Do keep up to date. You can listen again. You can find out all about Shout Out online.
Go to shoutoutradio.lgbt and don't forget, contact us if you'd like to get involved with the show.
Next week, it's two doctors, I believe, and we might even let you know a bit more about Film Festival and how it went. From myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.